Blog Talk Radio.
In the early hours before D-Day, General Dwight D. Eisenhower prepared an announcement that, thankfully, he never had to make.
Our landings in the Normandy area have failed to gain a foothold, and I have withdrawn the troops.
Great leaders prepare for every eventuality. They hope for the best. They prepare for the worst.
The troops did all the bravery and devotion duty could do. And if any blame or fault attaches to the attempt, it is mine alone.
Today, America faces new crises with new leaders.
Did disband the White House Pandemic Office?
Yeah, I didn't do it. We have a group of people. Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all.
Isn't it time America returned to a different kind of leadership? The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
From Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well, and I love that song. My favorite.
Yeah, Shaggy, Strength of a Woman. I think it was 90.
Yeah.
No, 2009. Not sure. But anyway,
great.
This is Kitchen Politics 123. We welcome everybody for listening. And thank everybody for sharing on social media across the board, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, wherever. Thank you so much. The number to call is 515-605-9802. So the topic tonight is Capitalism, the Best Economic System in the World Today. This is Season 2, Episode 26, the title, Death by Capitalism. Like every other forms of economic system, it has its major flaws and weaknesses. It promotes greed, corporate welfare, instigate war between the various social economic classes, and is heartless slash soulless, always choosing profits over people. What are your views on capitalism? How do you feel about the 1% who controls most of the world's wealth? Scandinavia has a different economic model that seems to be working for them. Could their system ever work in America? Do you think America is on a decline economically, socially, and politically? Every empire has their moment in the sun. Is America's reign as the world leader coming to an end? Which country could take over as the main influence if America falls from grace? Whose fault would it be if it happened? Democrats, Republicans, both political establishments? You can call us in at 515-605-9802. Subscribe to www.facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Laurie, what's up?
Oh, geez. Good old OPEC is just going to make a, you know, they're going to cut their boost. I'm sorry. They're going to cut production. And so that's going to raise prices of gasoline and also to heat your home, et cetera. I think it's going to be happening next month in Russia as well. So it makes you wonder because of the timing. You know, President Biden was in Saudi Arabia not too long ago. I mean, he's asked the oil companies repeatedly not to, you know, gouge us at the pumps and, you know, to raise prices, et cetera. But they seem, you know, like they don't care. So I'm wondering if it's political or if it's greed or is it a little bit of everything?
Well, I look at it as everything because capitalism encourages greed. But greed is only good for capitalists. For normal people, it's antisocial and soul-destroying, not to mention very bad for our communities, which rely on altruism. So, you know, capitalism offers wealth of benefits to the people who live on its reign. It allows you to have choices, work hard, improve your circumstances. It doesn't have a level of playing, a level playing field for all participants, but that is part of its beauty, some would say. And part of the cruelty, as others would say. And they have this thing about, you know, working your way from the lower end of the ladder and working your way up, which is, you know, like, not really true. There's, like, far and few between people. You know, you can check on a Forbes list where people come from scratch and, you know, have a novel idea that turned billionaires great. But people like, let's just draw a name out there, Donald Trump. He got, well, 40 million, 50 million or even more from his father, and 413 million from his father, you know. So, you know, he didn't start from scratch. So when people say, oh, he's a self-made billionaire, he's not even a billionaire, arguably. You know, it's just poppycock and a whole waste of time. Yeah, so, you know, capitalism is cruel, but, you know, it's a way of America. Money is, you know, the whole bottom line. And
Absolutely. You know, and cutting production by 2 million barrels a day, you know, you know, that's gonna hurt. And I, like I said, I just, you know, it makes you think, you know, who's involved in this, you know, and why, because, you know, I mean, they still can make money. So why are they cutting oil production? You know, it doesn't make sense because the supply and demand. So the, you know, the one thing that comes to mind to me is, is sort of, our midterms have something to do with it, and our administration, they want to hurt the Democrats, of course, you know. And the other thing, you know, Americans are worried about, you know, they're worried about, you know, economics are, you know, coming up. They're worried about inflation, all of that. One of the biggest things that we have going for us are, you know, women that are going to definitely vote, you know, for women's rights abortion. That, I think, will not change the rest of it. We can fight about it, but I believe that that one issue is going to, you know, take us into the midterms.
Yes,
you know, hopefully
I want to throw a question out there before I take this call. The question I have, devil's advocate question, do you think America could survive if we had a socialist system like Scandinavia? Because it seems to me that in Scandinavian countries it's working, you know. It's not every man for himself and you sink or swim, you know. Tell us what you think, people. So I have a call on the line. Hello, caller.
I can
answer
that one. Hello,
hi.
Am I on?
Yes,
yeah, you
are.
Okay. It wouldn't work because we have 50 different states. We have 50 little countries. We haven't come together for a long time. It wouldn't work. Until we can get America back together again, which we don't have it back together again, you couldn't have anything like Scandinavia has. Scandinavia is probably the size of what, Ohio?
Well,
yeah,
it's not going to work.
Denmark, Sweden. 50 different countries. We have to appease and compromise with 50 different ways of thinking. That seems to be a major problem. And that has a lot to do with the media. We need the fairness doctrine back. The fairness doctrine it would make the news reporting factual.
You're right with that.
And I don't know why the people aren't yelling and screaming for the fairness doctrine. And, you know, the ones that quote Reagan, it makes me sick. That was one of the first things he did by executive order, is he got rid of the fairness doctrine.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes, ma'am. So
what's
the first
name? Get rid of the fairness doctrine, and we can take and bring this country back together again, all 50 states, because we will be told the truth. But as long as you've got Brett Bard and that character that passed away from cancer, I can't remember his name, that's just as good that I don't, and Alex Jones and the rest of those clowns, and Tucker Carlson out there spewing lies, all you're going to have is complete chaos. 50 different states, 50 different pieces of chaos. We need the fairness doctrine. We got to start somewhere. And I don't see us doing anything except complaining.
There is a lot of complaining going on. Is this Elaine?
Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything.
I thought so.
So, Elaine, do you think...
I feel very strong about that fairness doctrine. I really think the problem is the people need the truth. They don't need these half-baked conspiracy theories that's being thrown out there. There's a lot of weak people out there. And I really honestly and truly feel that it's harder to hold the United States together right now because... we have 50 different ideas coming out of the media, and that's because we don't have the fairness doctrine. We need the truth spoken to us. If a person goes out and shoots two people, that's exactly what should be reported. They went out and shot two people. Not they went out and shot two people, but I think he had bleached hair. I don't care if he had bleached hair. I don't care if he had ingrown toenails. The truth is he went out and shot two people. That's the way the news should be reported.
Now, Elaine,
okay, Elaine, I want to ask you a question. So, you know, red states want to have states' rights, but blue states are for more centralized government, meaning, you know, like the directives will come from Washington, D.C. So do you think, you know, that's a better way, like centralizing government? You know, having laws that all states have to follow, or would that even cause more chaos? What do you think about that?
Until Ronald Reagan, our 50 states could come together and compromise because they were working with truth. That's where we got government laws to cover all 50 states. After the Fairness Doctrine, it only took approximately 10 years for the states to all start arguing with one another. You're not going to have any centralized government until the states start getting along. And they're not going to get along as long as lies are out there repeated daily. I heard a little ditty. It's called A Lie is Going Around the World While a Person is Just Tying Their Shoes On.
Well, that's how lies start. You know, they start with, you know, a little snippet of something and someone adds on, and before you know it, it's a totally different story. And that's
it
been going
on. It's like the game of gossip that you played in kindergarten.
Exactly.
It started with, I want a drink of water, and it ended up with, I want a piece of candy.
Yeah, exactly. So, for sure.
And when the teacher got up in front of the class and spoke the truth, then the class did the work. I mean, to me, it's such a simple way to fix it, or to at least start fixing it, to start bringing people together. but I can't even seem to get 10 people when I talk to them to understand how important the Fairness Doctrine is. We could, that would be a good foundation.
Maybe we need to start talking a little bit more about the Fairness Doctrine online.
Well, you know how I keep pushing it on Facebook.
Yeah, I know you do.
Every other week.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no, I think we need to start talking about the Fairness Doctrine. We need to go back to reporting the news only.
Well,
chasing Fox News.
We have to, you know.
I mean, you know, there are stations that report the news only. But people aren't watching them. They're listening to the lies that are coming out of Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson. I just recently talked to someone who said, it's a shame that Alex Jones has got to pay all that money.
I know.
Because that never, Sandy Hook never happened.
I know. Well, they're brainwashed.
You know, people like Sean Hannity and Alex Jones play upon people's fears, you know, and anything the Republicans want and don't get, that they whine and complain and cry like little kids. And Democrats,
well, you know,
to me,
Democrats have never been outspoken. They
much.
Should start being a little bit more outspoken. But I really think we can vent the problem back and forth, back and forth. I honestly and truly, in my heart, feel that we should be pushing for the Fairness Doctrine. We could eliminate a lot of problems right there.
Fox News will be out of off air, you know, when the Fairness Doctrine.
I mean, sometimes the solution is right there in front of our face, and what we're doing is we're overthinking it.
Exactly.
Who enforces it?
You're absolutely right. I agree with you.
I mean, I was just on Facebook, and they showed a doctor breaking the placenta bag, and they said, "Does that look like a fetus?" That's not the truth. That's a 9-month full grown baby. There's a big difference between a fetus and that, and the pictures that they showed on Facebook. And the caption was, "Does this look like a clump of cells in a fetus?" Well, you know, that's not the truth. The truth is, this is a 9-month baby where you're breaking the placenta sac.
I know.
That's where I'm coming. The truth has to be spoken. Until the truth is spoken, we're going to have a hard time fighting this.
Oh, I know. And there's a lot of brainwashed people out there. So there really are.
So, sorry to take over the program. Let somebody else come in and jump in. But
no, it's good. Thank you. I know
one last
had a good
question.
Point. You had a good point there.
Yeah, one last question before we let you go. Do you think Democrats will win the midterm elections coming up in November? What's your thoughts?
I don't predict anymore. All I do is hold my breath and hope I don't turn blue. The wrong kind of blue. No, I'm not going to predict. I don't know. I really don't know anymore. I know that I talk to strangers about the problems out there. I talk to strangers about voting. I will talk to people of color about voting. A lot of them will say that they don't vote. Their vote doesn't mean anything. And I'll stand in a grocery line and say, okay, there's 10 of us. If 10 of us vote, a person can get elected. I mean, I try every minute of the day to try to get people to get out there and vote. I can pretty much tell which people are Democrats or good-thinking independents. And I just
absolutely.
Work on them every chance I get.
Well, that's awesome.
Other than that, I don't know what else. I don't know what else to do. What's my thoughts? I really think that they're going to get in, but it's going to be a fight. And every Democrat gets in, they're going to say they cheated. Every Republican that gets in, they're going to say, oh, it was an honest election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's going to be
a go back to the fairness doctrine.
Yep, mm-hmm, you're right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lynn, so, thank you so much for calling in on
this.
Thanks listening.
For calling,
Lynn. Really appreciate
Take
it.
Care.
You're very welcome. I'll listen
Talk
to the rest
to
of the
soon.
Program. Thank you.
Okay, great. Talk
yes, ma'am.
Soon.
That was Lynn from Michigan. Yes, so capitalism,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I was saying, should America consider becoming a socialist country, a socialist democratic country, you know, like what they have in Scandinavia, you know, Scandinavia
mm-hmm.
is made up of Denmark, Sweden, you know, Finland, different countries, you know, and they have a shit together basically, and it's working for them.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how it plays in America, because certain things in America, like Social Security, that's socialist.
Yeah.
You know, having the fire truck. Is somewhat socialist. Why? Because if, like, mm-hmm. a private person owned it, imagine the amount of money you'd have to pay out of the wazoo for a private fire truck company if your house on fire or something like that. You know, that's
sure.
just an example. You know?
And police
so,
as well. You know,
mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
the people that work on the roads, that's all our tax money that goes
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm.
paying them to work on a road on the roads. And bridges and our infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So that is
mm-hmm.
socialism as well in a way, in a
mm-hmm.
form, in a form, you know, because
mm-hmm.
all your money is put there and then it's allotted for different things. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the thing is that the Republicans have made socialism a dirty word.
Mm-hmm.
And they make it sound like it's communism, and it is not.
Right, because
so that's part of
a
the
great
problem.
Deal, a great deal of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal program was socialist, arguably. You know, Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New Deal programs.
Medicare.
Medicare. FDIC.
Yeah, all of them.
Like that. You know, and look, Florida had a hurricane recently. And, you know,
yeah.
people like DeSantis and the two Santas, Marco Rubio and
yeah.
Skeletor, what's his name? You know, and
yeah.
Yeah, Rick Scott, there you go, Rick Scott. They are saying, oh, you know, Biden's socialist agenda, Democratic Party socialist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you know, I don't understand these people because the two Santas
you know,
voted against getting money, relief aid from the federal
yeah.
government. But yet still, they're going on begging for federal aid. You know, so
yeah.
and they're going on the case saying, oh, you know, Democrats are not doing anything. So you call down Biden and Democrats saying they're socialists, but yet they're crawling on your knees after voting no against economic relief package for the hurricane. You know, people like
exactly.
these should be voted out. They're disgusting,
absolutely.
You know. And
they
DeSantis
are.
Using taxpayer money, $12 million, to, you know, deport people to Martha's Vineyard and wherever else. I mean, God, get
you know
together, Florida.
You know, David, what I was thinking, you know what's ironic about
mm-hmm.
that? You know,
mm-hmm.
Florida is going to need a lot of help as far as laborers and plumbers and electricians. And I would say laborers
mm-hmm.
for sure, a ton
mm-hmm.
of them, because to clean up, for the cleanup, you know, and he's made it so that, you know, you could have migrant workers doing that kind of job because they will do that kind
mm-hmm.
of job.
Mm-hmm.
But try to get
mm-hmm.
everyday people that live in Florida to do that kind of job. Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
So he actually kind of cut his nose off to spite his face. That's how I look
yes.
at it. And,
added
you know,
to which,
and now,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
go ahead.
Added to which, people love, you know, right-wing people and Trumpers especially love to say, oh, you know, these illegal immigrants coming to take our American jobs. Will you go
right.
out in the fields and pick oranges or apples or
yeah.
till the soil or clean bathrooms
yeah.
or spread the bed in hotel room or, you know, the menial
yeah.
jobs, which are important,
yeah.
you know, and the slave
yeah.
wage jobs
laundry?
That they have.
Yeah,
exactly.
Laundry for the hotels, all of that. That is hard darn
mm-hmm.
work. It's labor, you know. And like I said, there is so much that needs to be cleaned up in Florida because it was demolished. And so you have to think about that. I don't think, I mean, he didn't think about it because he doesn't care. But now it may create a problem for him because trying to get people to, you know, to work, labor jobs like that, because it's going to be labor jobs. That's for sure.
Exactly.
People aren't into that. People are not into that. So,
okay, so, you know, capitalism versus socialism. The term capitalism and socialism are both used to describe economic and political systems. So on a theoretical level, both of these terms also describe specific schools of economic thought. One of the most fundamental differences between the systems of capitalism and socialism lies in the scope of government intervention within the economy. The capitalist economy model relies on free market conditions for the creation of wealth, the production of goods and services based on supply and demand in the general market. This economic structure is referred to as market economy. Capitalists believe in a free market without regulations. The less regulations you have, the better it is. So in a socialist economic model, the production of goods and services is either partially or fully regulated by the government. This refers to a central planning and an economic structure that is created, is known as planned economy or a command economy. In China, for example, you know, they have a mixed economy. You can call it a capitalist, but you wouldn't call it it's somewhere in between. It's just a mixed bag. I mean, they have a communist government, sure, but, you know, their economy is like capitalistic. So it's like a hybrid economy, basically. So key takeaways of the capitalist economic model relies on free market conditions for the creation of wealth. And unless, you know, your parents or you come from a long line of wealthy people, you don't have that head start. In a socialist economy, the production of goods and services is either partially or fully regulated, like I say. And most countries have mixed economies, falling somewhere on the spectrum between pure capitalism and pure socialism. So I think that's what America needs now to boost its economy.
Yeah.
Raise the minimum wage, have free health care because it's paid for by, you know, taxpayers and the richest 1% who don't pay taxes to begin with. You know, so, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. We know that what's happening with these corporations is that they are, first of all, you know, price gouging because they are taking advantage, well, when COVID was around, and now they're taking advantage of, you know, everything's raising. The prices we know are all inflated. We're all spending more money. And if there was something that could somewhat or some way that it could be capped, you know, in a socialist society, then yes, you know, we would have more fair and balanced, you know, the price of gas, the price of groceries. And we know that things don't go up that much. I mean, things are ridiculous. You know, loaves of bread are you know, almost $5. It's crazy. And a family can't live like that, especially if, like you mentioned, if the minimum wage does not get raised, you know, then what the heck? You know, how do people keep up? They don't keep up, you know. And then there's places like Walmart, you know, that do not pay enough money. So the people, because they're not working their full-time jobs, because they don't give them full-time, so they don't have to pay them, you know, their health care, then they have to go on Medicaid. So that subsidized, you know, that is subsidized. So it's like a vicious circle, you know, and the wealthiest, you know, the 1% are making all the money, and the trickles down is a bunch of bullshit. It doesn't work. It just never has worked. Does not work.
And, you know, we need a great equality in the distribution of income in America. You know, the little bit, that act that Obama signed, about equality. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like women are the backbone of society, any society,
yeah.
every society can think of. You know, so why they shouldn't get equal pay for equal work? You know, and you know, and you know, working class people should have more say in terms of, you know, not having equal distribution of income, because you know, a capitalist person, a capitalist person, the bottom line is making money, you know, as I said, a trickle-down effect. It's not trickling down, you know, so to stop this thing, all we need is for corporations to pay their fair share of taxes, and even individuals. Because Donald Trump hasn't paid tax in how long?
Sure, probably his whole life.
Yeah, probably.
You know, that was the first thing that he did when, you know, he cut all the taxes for, you know, the wealthiest corporations. And, you know, they've paid zero. I mean, now that the that the Inflation Reduction Act was passed, they're going to be paying some tax. But all that other money was just lost. You know, it's been lost for 2017, I believe it was. That's 5 years. You know, that's a lot of money, you know, that it could have gone into our infrastructure, you know, roads, bridges, you know, health care, you know, everything, you know, it's a shame. So our CEOs are making, they're making
like
big bucks.
Something like 2,000 plus an hour compared to the minimum wage person.
Well, yeah. Like, let's take Elon Musk, for example. He he earns $54,000 a minute. A minute. $2 a minute. Think about it. People have to work a whole year to make that kind of money, you know.
Or maybe even a whole lifetime, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So, you know what I'm saying. So that's just...
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. They're just making so much money. So Elon Musk is worth $6.65 billion. You know, Mike, his name is Mike Because. He's worth $568 million. He's a chief executive of Oak Street Health. He operates primary care facilities for seniors on Medicare. Think about that one.
Million or a billion?
Yeah. Millions.
Billions.
He's worth
billions,
that much.
Yes.
Yeah, he's worth that much. Yeah.
So typically, when you're looking at Jeff Bezos. So typically, when you look on different empires throughout the years in the history of the world, typically it's 240 years before the empire falls. And America has reached that stage now where, you know, 240 years we're an independent nation. And, you know, Greece, Rome, who else? Egypt. They had their time with the sun. Mesopotamia. You know, so do you think that the rise of China is a serious threat economically? Because China, building things, exporting things, not really good quality, but at least, you know, the getting the thing out where, you know, they're exporting and, you know, have this booming economy, so to speak. You know, and we're not making anything to export. We're just importing and we're borrowing money from China. Do you think ultimately that's our downfall?
Well, yes. We know that years ago, you know, things that were made in America, absolutely. We had unions, more unions than we have now. Now there's a lot of that right-to-work crap. And so, sure, when you have a union, you get paid better wages, you have your health insurance, you have a retirement plan, you know, women get paid as, you know, equally to men. Sure, a union is like a safeguard, you know, and that's going away. And people don't understand, you know, what a union does for people. It, mm-hmm. it lifts you up. So, you know, that's why there are companies like Starbucks and, you know, they don't want unions. They, you know, they
Walmart.
Definitely don't want a union, because once you have a union, mm-hmm. you have people together and, you know, they're going to, you know, want more.
And
sure.
Exactly.
And rightfully so.
And they deserve more. And then learn more. 515-605-9802 is the number to call. This is Kitchen Politics 123. The topic tonight, death by capitalism. Is America dying economically, socially, politically? Call us and tell us what you think. Susie from Michigan, hello.
Mm-hmm. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just happened to find a blurb on the news thing. You know, they were talking about the trains, you know, the locomotive trains, you know, transports.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah.
CEO mm-hmm. of the train corporation over 10 years made 920% mm-hmm. more than the guys working on the line, like the engineer
mm-hmm.
and the porters and all
mm-hmm.
that. 920% over 10 years, the CEO made.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. ridiculous. And they said mm-hmm. the average worker over 48 years only increased his wage by 20% in 48
oh, yeah.
years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I
yeah.
mean, that's
a sin. Think about that. You know,
I know.
Statistics show that they have done studies, and our minimum wage in this country should be $23 to $24 per hour to keep up
mm-hmm.
with inflation and prices
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and just to live. And, yeah.
And we're just fighting for 15.
We're,
you know,
fighting,
we're fighting for 15
an hour. Yes. You know.
I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't Michigan law still said that minimum wage is $7 and something?
No.
It was like a 10-year before it would be $10 or something. I forget what it was.
No, minimum wage in Michigan, it's almost $10. And then in February, it's supposed to go up to 12.
Yippee.
Yeah.
What do you do with $12 an hour when gas is $4?
No.
You know?
Exactly. But then there are companies, I have to say, okay, so then there's companies like Aldi's, okay, I mean, but they're worldwide. I don't know if you're familiar with Aldi's.
Yeah, they have one in Traverse, yep.
I love Aldi's. I mean, I like that store. And they're $17 an hour the last time I saw their sign, and that's with benefits and retirement plan and vacation pay, $17 an hour. So there are some companies out there that are willing, you know, to pay the money to get good employees, because that's what you'll get.
I know. My husband used to say, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, you know.
Yeah.
So he had to pay good wages to get good people, and they stayed forever. And the second generation
mm-hmm.
came to work for them. You know, you pay them, you treat them good, you give them good bennies, they come back, they work for you, and they do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, and it helps everybody. And it went to crap when the Supreme Court, I told you guys before, decided that corporations are people too, so they could give the politicians as much as they want for their campaigns, and they bought them off, like the pharmas and everything, you know? And so we got screwed, and unless they change that, we're going to still be in this position.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference with Sweden and Norway. They don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Even England
mm-hmm.
doesn't. I mean, their elections, they have a cap on how much they can spend, $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
You only campaign for 3-4 months. Not this
mm-hmm.
campaign forever and spend millions and millions. Are you kidding me? It's
well,
so
and
wrong.
Even dark money in England or Britain, I should say, is banned.
Yep.
You know, there's a cap, and there's a 4-month period where it can campaign, and you can't spend over the limit. And they have tight regulations regarding that. That's what America needs. And with Citizens United coming in because of the Supreme Court, you know. It's like a free for all. Chuck Schumer recently tried to put up for a debate and then a vote about, you know, where dark money, super PACs, getting the money from and everything, where you have to make it mm-hmm. public. And of course, Manchin and Sinema voted against it. So it wasn't passed, but they're still thinking about,
like,
you know, talking about
Fox
it before
watching
the election.
Chicken coop. It's like the fox watching mm-hmm. the chicken coop. They're not going to do anything, the Republicans and half the Democrats, because they're not going to say, well, the Republicans are getting all this money and we got to keep up, you know, so we have to have the money mm-hmm. and the power too. It's all about the money mm-hmm. and power. They're not going to tax Bezos and all those guys. They're not taxed at all. Who was it, that finance guy that makes all that money and everybody follows? He said his secretary was paying more taxes than he was. I mean, mm-hmm. that's ridiculous.
Yep.
And that's what's happening, you know, and people don't have money to buy a car. Cars cost as much as a house used to. And yet, when you're making minimum wage, how the hell can you afford it?
Yep.
Let alone rent that's going through the roof and everything. Who's making the money off that?
Buffett.
Why does rent have to go up that much? Only because they're greedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the building's there. The room's there. I mean, people pay their own gas and light when you rent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have renter's insurance. Mm-hmm. So why does the rent go up?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you think of Warren Buffett about his secretary paying more taxes
than
he
does. That's the guy, Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's horrible. I wish we had what Sweden does, because they're successful. They can have businesses and all that, but everybody pays their fair share. And
mm-hmm.
you have at least health care, pension. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting old. They take care of you. And, you know, you pay maybe a little more in property tax or something, but everybody has the basics taken care of, and that's the way it should be. You work hard all your life, and you should be taken care
of. Absolutely.
Because rumor has it, or maybe they said it publicly, because Republicans don't give a damn anymore, that, you know, they'll take away Medicaid and they'll take away Social Security. Imagine you at 16 years old, up till now, where you're retired, and you paid into that system, and the Republicans want to take it away. I mean, they don't have any, they have no right to
I
that.
I don't think that Republicans
you know?
Are like that, because they paid in, they're getting old, they use Medicare and Medicaid.
No, I'm saying,
what makes them think they can pass that?
They say when they come to power, that's one of the things that they'll seriously look into about taking money.
It has been said.
Mm-hmm.
It's floating in trust me. It is.
Oh, I know they've been talking about it for a while, but I don't think they will. They just talk, because they're cutting their own balls off there. Because everybody paid into it, Republican and Democrat, and they want the benefits.
They will say anything to get in power, and once I do, we can't put anything, past Republicans, you know, because they said they're the one thing. For example, when George Bush was in power, the second Bush, they wanted to privatize Social Security, you know, and thank God they didn't have the power in the Senate to pass a law such as that. You know, so imagine now when everything's all haywire and everybody gone crazy in the Republican Party. They'll do it.
They're get their hands on that money. Can you imagine? They are dying
to get
that money.
No,
they don't
care.
You know.
But how do they
figure
they're going to get reelected if they do that?
Well, gerrymandering and suppressing the vote. Gerrymandering, suppressing the vote. Things like that. That's sort of getting power, you know.
Yeah.
But to stay in power, you can't have people are rioting in the streets.
Oh,
they
yeah.
pull that
but
crap.
They don't care. They don't care. Right. They did over the election in January 6, 2021. You know.
Yeah.
You know? So
oh my God.
Yeah. Republicans,
I think I
got
to move to San Marino and call it good if that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll
yeah,
see.
Republicans are assholes. Not all Republicans, but a MAGA Republicans, Trump Republicans.
Yes.
They're complete,
they're crazy.
Total assholes. And a lot of them are running in for school district right up to the federal level. Can't make or allow these people to get power because the amount of damage that they'll do. The dry run was on January 6th. Now imagine, you know, when Democrats, knock on wood, win both chambers in Congress, you know, they screamed blood and murder, like, oh, it was stolen and, you know, it was gerrymandered or whatever reason.
I know.
Yeah,
how
so
come all the ones that were Republicans really won, but any Democrat, that was stolen, but it was the same election, right?
Yeah, Just disgusting people. Disgusting people.
You know, the thing is this. You know, when Trump is campaigning in 2016, we all have short memories, and the media forgets things, and, you know, we all forget things. It's just how it works. But when he was campaigning in 2016, one of his main talking points was how his proposals would lead to out-of-control inflation. And then that his concerns have come to fruition. Now, because of his tax cuts, you know, we have the inflation that we have. That is what's happening because of those tax cuts. That's why we have the inflation that we have. That's a lot of the problem. It was created by him. And then they love to say that the Democrats, you know, are the ones that do all the spending. And, you know.
Yeah, that's why they put us in the hole. We're in the hole because of the Democrats, but the Republicans are the ones that got $2 trillion cuts, you know, put us in the hole, $2
trillion. You know, right, and they also want to be, you know, the Republicans always are the ones that have touted themselves as being the job creators, you know, that sort of thing. And truthfully, that's not really true. You know, sure, they're the job creators, but they're also the ones that take, you know, they don't pay the minimum wage, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's just all a bunch of BS all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel so bad for the young people right now because they're making squat and everything costs a lot. School is ridiculous.
Yep. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I know I'm old, but when in the 60s you got paid $2.50 an hour, I could pay tuition at Macomb, a community college, and I saved up enough to buy a car. Come on, out of $2.50 an hour, because things weren't ridiculous. Gas was 35 cents. I know we'll never see those days again, but you could work your ass off, you know, working a job and going to school at night and pay for it. And get enough to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, a Mustang was $2,500 back in 1965.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Can you believe brand new car, $2,500? Holy crap. You can't buy anything under $40,000 now.
Oh, I know. I agree. You cannot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mind-boggling how bad things are. And they're not going to get any better. And Republicans are just driving it in the dirt right now. I'm hoping. And they blame. Okay, they blame Biden for all the inflation. Well, what is the Republicans going to do? Because you know, obviously Biden can't do anything about it. You know, the price of oil, inflation, blah blah. It's not controlled by the president.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the Republicans going to do if they get into power?
Nothing. Can't do anything.
You know, people don't really understand that.
Cut more taxes for corporations. That's what they'll
about
do.
It.
That's all they'll do.
You know, have school vouchers, private schools and everything. They're for
that's horrible.
Stifling out public schools, public funding funding for public schools. That they're against that. And there is a system where they have from schoolroom into prisons. We call it a private prison industry. It's a big thing. The military industrial complex.
Oh God, that's like a ripoff too.
You know, the military industrial complex is a thing that, you know, chummed with Republicans mostly. The pharmaceutical companies, you know, basically are rapacious, just like, you know, oil companies, big oil and gas companies, you know. And so with OPEC doing this, you know.
It's out of control. It's all about the stockbrokers and the CEOs and screw everybody else.
The shareholders and everything, you know. And they want to deregulate Wall Street. Deregulating Wall Street was that was a cause of the Wall Street crash in 1929. When they had unrelenting deregulation and everything just went to crap after a certain time. You know, in 2008, when George Wolf was in power, the same thing happened. So trickle-down economics don't work. It didn't work in Britain. It don't work here. You know, trickle-down economics is a fantasy, a fallacy. And people should get over it. And people should get over the fact that, oh, yes, my grandfather was Republican. My family has a history of voting Republican, so I'm going to vote Republican. And they're driving a beat-up Chevy or something and living, you know, paycheck to paycheck on a minimum wage thing with three kids, you know? And that is our mother's basement. Come on now. Think, people. You know, think.
Yeah.
Stop being ignorant, willfully ignorant. Stop watching Fox News. Stop listening to right-wingers on the radio. And as Elaine said earlier, we need the fairness doctrine to come back. That will solve more than half the problems that America has now. Get Fox News off the air. They're bullshit.
Yep. You know, there's a new NPR poll that came out today. It shows that Biden's approval rating is up. But then, you know, they can't just leave it at that. So then they say there are warnings for Democrats. You know, and it says, it goes on to say, with just over a month to go into the 2022 midterm elections, Democrats are starting to rally around President Biden. According to the latest, Biden's approval poll is up to 44%, which marks a third straight month of approval. He had bottomed out in July at 36%. Democrats are largely pace with Republicans on enthusiasm about the election this fall, a continued trend after the Supreme Court June Dobbs decision, which overturned the guaranteed right to an abortion in this country. Biden's approval rating continues to improve. So
they need to advertise more about what Biden and the Democrats did. Infrastructure, the money that people got from COVID, you know, all that, and all the things he did do, but they're not saying anything. They don't remind people, and their memory is short. And then you say, oh, and by the way, your guy voted against giving money to Florida for the hurricane or for building bridges or for, like, Texas, for the infrastructure. He's spending money to ship people out of town, but his electrical grid sucks, and you're going to freeze your ass this winter when the power goes out again. So, I mean, they don't remind people of that.
Yeah, and you know, Republicans voted against baby food, you know? So, Jesus, man, they're disgusting, horrible people. And they should, and they want small government. Then if you want small government, why the hell are you running for office? Tell me. You know, why
you
in
know,
people's bedrooms,
that's
in people's
the funniest
business?
Part about, that's the funniest part about the whole thing. Is that Republicans have always said, you know, they believe in small government. Well, you know, Roe versus Wade being overturned is the biggest, that's the biggest farce that you can ever, I mean, that is definitely the government going into women's lives and your business and et cetera, without your, you know, being able to choose. So it's all a bunch of BS. That's basically all it is. And that's all We know that, and we have to just keep saying that it's a big lie. It truly is a big lie. But
and the politicians pay for their mistresses or wives or daughters to go in another state or out of country to get one. So, I mean, only affects, they're controlling the people, right? Not themselves.
Yeah.
The
it's
poor
just like
people.
This Herschel, just like this Herschel Walker thing that's going on.
Is that ridiculous?
I mean,
he can't even put a sentence together. He's as stupid as Trump.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. In fact, the Lincoln Project ran something recently, October 6th, actually. Let me play the clip. It's a one-minute clip.
Okay.
Lead Blockers, Lincoln Project ad. Here it is.
Okay.
I don't care if Herschel Walker paid to abort endangered baby eagles.
Yo, that's the goal for Herschel Walker.
I think he's a remarkable person. I think he's the most important Senate candidate in the country because he'll do more to change the Senate just by the sheer presence, by his confidence, by his deep commitment to Christ.
Herschel Walker is under attack for one reason to you, and it's because he's going to beat Bumpy a lot, and they're desperate. Try to find any way to stop that from happening.
He had a lot of concussions coming out of football. He suffered PTSD.
When President Trump was running, remember all of the distraction.
I remember all of
he grabbed, he said he don't grab nobody. And we was like, well, I'm so happy he grabbed somebody by the feet.
That's the thing. I mean, McGinnis, he says if I had a stamp of line, and people say so you got in and all the perceptions, and I say, no.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
How stupid is that, right?
They live in an alternate universe. They live in an alternate universe where the truth don't matter.
Sure.
The mixture, the drag things out of the air. And why would people vote for somebody like that? Why? Help me understand. You know? Are they that desperate?
I don't know if people are going to vote for somebody like that, but. You know, even his own son, Christopher, came out and said that he did pay for he did pay for abortions. He was not a good family man. He was not a good father. Oh, and then the mother also came out, who he had a relationship with, a woman, I should say, not mother, a woman he had a relationship with. He paid $700 for an abortion for her, is what she said. And then after that, she had another child with him who she is raising right now. And he denies it all. I mean, really? All she has to do is a DNA test, and she can show that.
Well, no,
she'll
have the receipts. She'll have the receipts that he's
receipts,
the father,
the
like
receipts.
The one who had the abortion, for example. She has a canceled check of the $700 that he sent and a get well card. You know, so... You know, obviously, Herschel Walker is a liar, you know, and full of shit, you know, and said he never met her. I mean, God. And he's a Republican nominee. That's so low.
Plus, he's dangerous. Didn't he threaten his exes with guns and his son said they had to move 6 times in 6 months because they were afraid of him? He's dangerous, besides. And they say, oh, that's because he got hit in the head. But you know what they want him? To put him in there and rubber stamp anything that they put through. Just like Taylor Greene, she's a moron. They won't put her on any committee because she's too stupid. They just want her to vote the way they say to vote. Warm bodies in a seat. That's all they're looking for.
Yeah, the talking black. And the talking black now currently in the Republican Party is what's his name? The guy from South Carolina, Scott. I don't know what Scott. Bald-headed guy, black guy.
Where?
He's so pathetic. He's from South Carolina. The senator from South Carolina.
Yeah,
he's running against the preacher. And he's an amazing man. And they're running him against that guy? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. Who I was thinking of was Tim Scott. He's from South Carolina. And he's their talking black in the Republican Party today. He's a U.S. Senator. Yeah, so the one thing is Tim Scott, basically, in the U.S. Senate, the talking black. So they'll have two talking blacks now. Wow, okay. But that may happen.
Oh, well,
Raphael Warnock is going to vote them.
We also have, in Michigan, we have John James.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Against Carol Marlinga. He's,
oh,
you know,
yeah, he's another piece of work.
Was the you know DeVos a DeVos, and he is definitely against abortion and for all reasons as well. So it's another token, if that's what you want to say. Walk around the campaign. I mean, said that this is what he said. I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible where it says have four kids with four different women while you're with another woman, or where it praises not to be a present parent, or that an abortion is okay thing to do when it's not the right time for you, but a terrible thing for anyone else to do when you are running for Senate. He picks and chooses where it's convenient for him to use that religious crutch, and that is what that woman said, the one that said he had an abortion. Has his son or child, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everything's all crazy. I just. The more you read, the more sick to your stomach you get.
Mm-hmm.
How can this happen to the United States? Why?
Why?
Well,
because there's
no
fairness.
I know the Russians and the Chinese are going online and putting all this crap that people believe and eat with a spoon, you know. They believe all this crap. I know that's part of it. But, oh, my God, I thought people were smarter to fall for this stuff. I don't know.
I don't know either.
As I say, as Elaine said earlier, we need the fairness doctrine back. Because that would solve a whole lot of things, you know.
It sure would.
Yeah.
I agree.
We just got to get those Democrats in there. That's all to it.
Yes, from an every level.
And I have a feeling that the women with the abortion rights is the only way we're going to get it in, done.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Susan.
Have a good night,
take
you
care.
Guys.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You. The
yes,
fairness,
ma'am. Sure.
We could talk a little bit about the fairness doctrine. Maybe people don't really, sometimes you don't really understand. So, you know, what is, you know, in simple terms, what is the fairness doctrine? That's probably the best way that we can explain it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Fairness Doctrine of the United States Federal Communications Commission, which is the FCC, introduced in 1949, was a policy that required the holders of broadcast licenses, both to present controversial issues of public importance and to do so in a manner that fairly reflected differing viewpoints. So, you know, that's basically what it is. And then the rule of it is, enforced by the FCC was a council that rooted in the media in 1949. Lawmakers became concerned that the monopoly audience control of the three main networks, NBC, ABC, and CBC, CBS, could misuse their broadcast license to set a biased public agenda. So that's basically how it started.
And in 1987, the repeal of the Fairness Doctrine by Ronald Reagan enabled the rise of talk radio circuit. Now, that has been described as unfiltered, and it's divisive and vicious. Quote, in 1988, a savvy former ABC radio executive named Ed McLaughlin signed Rush Limbaugh. Remember Rush, that fat bastard, then working on a little-known Sacramento station, a nationwide syndicated contract. McLaughlin offered Rush Limbaugh to stations at an unbeatable price, free. All they had to do was carry this program to set aside 4 minutes per hour for ads that McLaughlin's company sold to national sponsors. The station got to sell remaining commercial time to local advertisers. And according to the Washington Post, from his earliest days on the air, Rush Limbaugh trafficked in conspiracy theories, divisiveness, mm-hmm. even viciousness. Example, you know, using the term feminazi. And prior to 1987, people using much less controversial verbiage had been mm-hmm. taken off the air as an obvious violation of fairness doctrine. So basically in 1987, when, you know, Reagan and the Republican Congress, you know, they uprooted the fairness doctrine and everything, it was just a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about making money yeah. in advertisement dollars and spreading this hate and this this vicious cycle of conspiracy theories. And Rush Limbaugh was the master of that. Now, Sean Hannity seemed to take over, and Alex Jones paying a price for it now, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and Tucker Carlson especially, that bastard,
oh, yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we need to reinstate it. You know, Louise Slaughter, congresswoman from New York, and 23 co-sponsored introduced the Fairness and Accountability in Broadcasting Act, or H.R. 501. That was back in February 2005, and the first session of the 109th Congress from 2005 to 2007, when Republicans held a majority in both houses. The bill would have shortened the station's license term for 8 years to four, with the requirement that the license holder can cover important issues fairly, hold local public hearings about its coverage twice a year, and a document to the SEC how it was meeting its obligations. The bill was referred to committee, but progress no further. So it went committee stage and I killed it after that. So in the same Congress, Congressman Maurice Hinchey from New York introduced legislation to, quote, restore the Fairness Doctrine, H.R. 3302, known as the Media Ownership Reform Act of 2005, or MORA, and had 16 co-sponsors in Congress. In June 2007, Richard Durbin, Dick Durbin from Illinois, he said it's time to reinstitute the Fairness Doctrine, an opinion shared by his Democratic colleague, John Kerry from Massachusetts. However, according to Marin Corgan of New Republic in 2008, Senator Durbin's press secretary said that Durbin had no plans, no language, no nothing. He was asked in a hallway last year, he gave his personal view. An American people served well on the doctrine. It has been also blown out of proportion. So in June 2008, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, now Speaker of the House in 2008, told reporters that her fellow Democratic representatives did not want to forbid reintroduction of the Fairness Doctrine. The interest in my caucus is reversed. I mean, why?
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, well.
You know?
Well, we know why.
Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, Democrat, California, told the Daily Post in Palo Alto, California, that she thought it would also apply to cable and satellite broadcasting, stating it will bring back, or I'll work on bringing it back. I still believe in it. It should and will affect everyone. Tom Harkin, former senator from Iowa, told Bill Press that we need a fairness doctrine back in law again. They are just shutting down progressive talk from one city to another. Senator Harkin responded, exactly, and that's why we need the fairness doctrine back. And former President Bill Clinton showed support for the fairness doctrine, and he said, Bill Clinton, where is the quote? The quote said, oh, God. Anyway, I can't find the quote, damn it. You know, so Democrats are for the Fairness Doctrine being, coming back and everything. And it's mostly Republicans and conservative talk show radio hosts, you know, saying that, you know, it's an attack on their First Amendment rights to speak. To lie, basically. Just
basically to lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And people out there who, you know, having it hard, for whatever reason, because of economic crunch and the minimum wage is shit, basically, it should be raised to $15 or for a startup. You know, so these right-wingers play upon their fears, and whatever lie they come up with, then, you know, so be it, you know? So, and they're vulnerable, basically, to fall for anything because they're so desperate. And the right-wingers mm-hmm. play upon their fears. And with the fairness doctrine back, then that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen. We need the fairness doctrine back. But I digress.
Yes, you do.
I'm going on.
Well, hopefully we will. You know, hopefully mm-hmm. we will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe we need to start, you know, calling our senators, our congressmen, you know, calling D.C., you know, and making us think about it. Because, you know, I've not heard any talk about the Fairness Doctrine, you know, for a long, long time. And, was right. We do need it. Your First Amendment rights are okay, but when you start crossing the line and, you know, saying to hang the vice president and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Republicans are going to start
dying
and that sort of thing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're over the line, you know, and violence is violence, yes. So you
mm-hmm.
just can't. It's got to change. That has to change.
Yes.
So some good news,
mm-hmm.
which really has nothing to do with, you know, what our topic, but this only started 3 hours ago. President Biden is going to pardon all prior federal offenses of simple possession of marijuana. That's a big deal.
Oh, that's
deal.
Good. Yeah.
So, but this is CBS News 3 hours ago. So let's see. It says senior administration officials told reporters Thursday that more than 6,000 people with prior federal convictions for simple possession of marijuana and thousands others convicted under Washington, D.C. law could benefit. So that's really good
mm-hmm.
news, you know.
Yeah.
I like that. And then he's also,
mm-hmm.
in addition, he's going to urge all governors pardon state offenses of simple marijuana possession.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, you know, we all think that, you know, I think legalizing cannabis is a good thing. They
mm-hmm.
have proven that it's good for a lot of things. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so this is all positive as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. And New Mexico legalized medical marijuana, Colorado,
yep.
California, a whole bunch of states.
So did
so, Michigan. You know, we'll have recreational marijuana in the state of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of states are legalizing,
yep.
you know, marijuana.
Yep.
So let's should get off it,
yep.
really, you know. In Alabama, for example, that's a perfect example where if a black man is found with an ounce, or Mississippi, not Alabama, Mississippi, he got a life sentence for 1 ounce of marijuana.
Yep.
But yet
yeah.
still, you know, a white guy who, you know, commit murder is out on parole, Mississippi. I mean, goddamn people, get it together. Mississippi is the poorest
yeah.
state in the union, you know.
Yeah.
Their economy depends on picking cotton. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
They're picking cotton. Wow,
yep.
that's how poor these bastards are. But yet still vote Republican. I cannot understand people one bit. I can't. I give up for real. Wow.
Anyway,
I
was just going
yeah.
to say, you know, like you said before, you know, people
mm-hmm.
that have grown up in their families, like I grew up in my family,
mm-hmm.
my parents were Democrats, my, you know, my aunts and uncles were all Democrats, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's how I grew up. But I do have sisters that are Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And why?
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue. You know,
mm-hmm.
it makes no sense. And to try to understand.
Their husbands
it.
Are. Yeah, their husbands are. That's why they're Republican.
Yeah. So, yes, that's true too. But I'm talking about how they were raised, and you know, we weren't raised to be like that. So it doesn't make sense to me, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, I guess love blinds them, so or the turn religion. And religion just, you know, shit everything. Religion shit on everything, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think.
Yep.
There's no critical thinking when religion comes into the topic. So, okay. But I have Herschel Walker's son here. Is a clip from MSNBC, and here's Christian Walker.
Okay.
He has four kids, four different women, wasn't in the house raising one of them. He was out having sex with other women. Do you care about family values? I'm just saying, don't lie. Don't lie on my mom. Don't lie on me. Don't lie on the lives you've destroyed and act like you're some moral family man. You all should care about that. Conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Point.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And also, there's a little article that says that he slipped during an appearance on a conservative talk show, Hugh Hewitt's show. Walker emphasized that the Daily Beast story about him paying for an abortion was totally untrue and insisted that I know nothing about any woman having an abortion. But then he went on to say, there's anything you need to be forgiven vis-a-vis a woman whose name we don't know. And then he says, there's nothing wrong, nothing to be ashamed of if he paid for an abortion. So he talks out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah, if he asks for forgiveness, it's all better. Damn hypocrite.
Right.
You know, so I predicted Warnock, he's going to win on a landslide, Senator Warnock. You know, there's no way on God's green earth that Herschel Walker can win. He's too stupid. He's a lying sack of garbage. And, you know, his chicken's coming home to roost, basically.
Absolutely. You know, talk his way out of it, but, you know, talk is cheap, you know.
Well,
so.
He's not that smart. He can't even put a sentence together, so, you know.
You're right about that.
He can't put that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just messy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, so we have 4 minutes left. The number to call is 515-605-9802. You could follow us and subscribe on facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Death by Capitalism is the topic of tonight, season 2, episode 26. You know, so politically, do you think there's hope for America politically to, you know, unite? Or once Donald Trump is the leader of the Republican Party, and we'll have the MAGA Republicans, you know, things will just get worse. What do you think?
I think there's hope. I really do. And I also think that, you know, all the positive things that the Biden administration are doing, you know, like the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, trying to – everything, what I just talked about with, you know, with the marijuana. And they are just trying to bring back normal is what they're trying to do. And they're trying to be positive. Mm-hmm. all the time, and they're not using attack basics, attack lies, and all of that. So, yeah, I believe that we have a chance. I truly do. And once again, I'm going to say it again. I truly believe in women. I believe that they are pissed off, and, you know, no one's going to make a decision about their body. And that's the bottom line. So I really think that we're going to be okay. Now, a couple things about the Inflation Reduction Act. We should kind of maybe stress it a little bit or talk about it for a minute, because I don't know if everyone really knows all the good things that are, can come out of it. So as far as health care, they're going to change the rules so Medicare can finally negotiate for lower prescription drug prices, and Americans can stop paying twice as much for prescription drugs as other countries. They're going to put a cap on for older Americans for $2,000 and holding Big Pharma accountable for raising Medicare premium. They're going to extend subsidies for 13 million people who get health care through the Affordable Care Act, saving the average enrollee $800 a year. Now, $800 a year, you know, for people that are on a limited income, is a lot of money. It truly is.
Yeah.
So then the next thing is taxes and the economy. They're going to establish, and we were just talking about tax cuts. Now, they're going to establish a 15% corporate minimum tax for companies with profits over $1 billion. So many of the largest corporations currently paying zero in income tax. They're going to invest in IRS tax enforcement to crack down on corporations who abuse our tax system. Zero new taxes on small businesses or families making less than $400,000 a year, and that's a whole lot of people, as we know, and reducing the deficit by $1.5 trillion in the first year alone. And the last thing is clean energy, investments, and jobs, creating millions of good-paying, clean energy, clean manufacturing, clean transportation jobs, many right here, well, in Michigan and all around the country, investing approximately $370 billion into combating the effects of climate change, which we know is upon us right now, the largest investment we've ever made, incentives for energy programs that would save people money on their utility bills, and also investments in clean energy and battery storage by 2030. So these are all
and
positive
also,
things.
And also, it has something in there that would lower prescription drug prices and investing in domestic energy production while promoting clean energy, like you said. It was passed by the 117th U.S. Congress and signed into law by Joe Biden August 16th, 2022. The budget reconciliation bill was sponsored by Senator Chuck Schumer of New York and Joe Manchin of West Virginia. The bill was the result of negotiations of the proposed Build Back Better Act, which was reduced and comprehensively reworked for the initial purpose after being opposed by Manchin. Here go again, Manchin. It was introduced as an amendment to the Build Back Better Act, and you know the law will the law as passed will raise $738 billion and authorize $391 billion in spending on energy. As I said, climate change, deficit reduction. We're reducing deficit by $238 billion in 3 years. A subsidized Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as Republicans like to call it, lower costs for prescription drugs, tax reform, like you said, addressing climate change, greenhouse emissions will be reduced by 40%. You know, so this is a damn good bill, one of the best bills I've ever seen any Congress, you know, ever done. Oh, and guess what? Republicans voted zero. None of them voted for the damn thing. None of them.
Exactly.
The credit, they're taking
not
credit for
more.
It now. They're going campaigning, taking credit for it for something they didn't vote for. Why would anybody vote Republican? If you're listening out there, they didn't vote for shit. Do not vote Republican.
Yep.
Come on. Oh.
In Michigan, every single Republican voted against it. Every single one. In Michigan.
Yeah. The whole lot of them
so,
voted against it. Zero. Republicans, zero.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Republican equals no. No to help the people.
Yeah.
No to lift up a person out of poverty. No to put a blanket on them when they're cold. No to give them food when they're hungry.
Yeah, but yet still tax cuts for the rich individuals and corporations. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, as long as we're giving, padding my pocket with money, with those super PACs and everything, keep it coming. And super PACs, where are these monies coming from? Foreign entities like Russia, possibly. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
They're storing things out there, you know. Does Putin have a hand in this in the Republican party? Well, yeah, he does. There's proof that he helped Trump.
Probably.
You know, so.
Probably.
No, not probably. He helped Trump, you know. But anyway.
You know, the other thing is that more than 150 House Republicans call on Biden to reject California's waiver request for green car regulations. I mean, climate change is right on top of our heads. I mean, California of all states, you know, they have fires. They have everything happens to that state. Their winds, their everything, the rains, the flooding, the, you know, and now look at what happened to Florida. And climate change is upon us. It's on top of us. It is here to stay. And we need to move fast. Because the next generation that's coming up right behind us is not going to have a planet. Plain and simple. They'll be wearing gas masks. Not a joke. It's not a joke. And they just are rebellious. Why? Why? Don't they have families? And don't they have children that need to grow up in the next generation and breathe air and drink clean water? Don't they have that Or do
they
have
an
ulterior planet to go to?
They don't give a shit. That's why.
I know.
You know?
I know. I know.
You know?
But it just blows my mind. It just blows my mind. I just don't understand that. Because these, you know, these Republicans that are in office have families, for God's sake. They have families. They have children. They have to grow up in the same planet we live on. It doesn't make any sense to me. Do they think that they're going to be able to go live in another space? I don't think so. It makes no sense.
Yeah, well, so, you know, no word strikes more fear into the hearts of Fox News anchors known for suburbs. Socialism. I lost my train of thought. I'm tired. I had a hard work day today. Jesus, I'm tired. Forgive me. I'll put my thoughts together. I'm just so pumped up about this topic and everything. Yeah, basically, what I'm trying to say, short-circuited, America has socialism in it already. Social Security.
Medicare.
You know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Welfare, you know, I don't want to get rid of the welfare program. You know, why people need a social netting. You get what I'm saying?
And yes, absolutely.
The Republican Party is just evil. The GOP is evil.
They don't care.
And they don't care. They need to be stopped.
If you're sitting in a tree, you know, picture yourself sitting in a tree and you lose your balance and you fall down, they wouldn't even look down to try to help you, to get you out. You know, it's just how it is, you know. Most of them just do not care. They only care about profit and money and power and greed, paying no taxes. And they're going after our, you know, the public schools are next. You know, they're, you know, banning books. Everything that they can do to derail our country, everything that we've had for all these years, all the good that's come out of this country, they're trying to take us backwards.
Yeah.
And it just can't happen. It just can't happen. You know?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I know.
Okay, so we have 30 minutes left in the show and everything. Mm-hmm. The number to call, ladies and gentlemen, 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. You can like us on facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're over shy. We don't bite. We listen to every point of view. We don't judge.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll come with statistics and facts. So, you know, be ready for the blowback. Yes, you're saying, Lori.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was going to just talk about, kind of get off subject, because I'm thinking about the midterms, and there was a new CNN poll done, Arizona. You know, there's a, you know, battleground there going on with Mark Kelly
mm-hmm.
and Blake Masters. And it looks like,
mm-hmm.
guess what? It looks like voters are behind Kelly 51% to 45%
mm-hmm.
for Masters. So that looks pretty
mm-hmm.
good right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one in Nevada, 48%
mm-hmm.
for support. It's Laxalt, L-A-X-A-L-T, and 46% for Cortez Masto. So,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, I think things are going to be okay. I just do. Beto is Beto. I know I always call him Beto, but it's Beto. He is a powerhouse. He has been
mm-hmm.
everywhere. He's been to colleges. He's been all over. And his approval rating, he is knocking it out of the park. So I
mm-hmm.
expect Texas to elect him as governor. If they do not
mm-hmm.
elect him as governor, I will never, ever talk about Texas again, feel bad about them when they don't have electricity and heat in the winter. Okay? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So Texas, do
mm-hmm.
your thing. Elect Baker.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of Texas, do you know that debate between Beto O'Rourke and what's his face? Abbott. There
yeah.
is no audience there. Why?
No.
Is Abbott
he did not want
so chicken shit and afraid?
Yeah.
You know, so afraid
mm-hmm.
to you know.
Yeah. Abbott,
yeah,
is
so
the only
mm-hmm.
he would debate was if there was no audience. Now, mind you, it was a huge stadium, and he
mm-hmm.
said he will not debate, no audience. So what does that tell
mm-hmm.
you? He is unpopular.
That,
he
you know,
knows
he was, no, well, he'd say things in a debate without an audience and say, oh, no, I didn't say that. Our audience
exactly.
wasn't there to witness it.
Exactly.
See, again,
or,
Republicans are liars.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. So in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
our three ladies are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So far,
mm-hmm.
so good. Our governor
mm-hmm.
is ahead in the polls. Our attorney general, Dana Nessel, head of the polls. And Benson, secretary of state, she's ahead in the polls.
Mm-hmm.
Our three powerhouse yeah. women are ahead in the polls. So that is really good news because
mm-hmm.
we have a lot
yes.
of crazies running against them. And I mean crazy.
Yeah.
They're MAGAs.
Yeah,
bad
Trump,
news.
Yes, MAGA Trump Republicans.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Okay, so what do you think about... Well, let me see. What do you think about energy and climate change? You need alternative energy because, like, oh,
mm-hmm.
OPEC will put the screws to us and raise gas prices
yeah.
because they're cutting out. You know?
Yeah.
In this Inflation Reduction Act, you know, the largest allocation is $128 billion for renewable energy and grid energy storage, $30 billion for nuclear power, $13 billion for electrical vehicles incentives, $14 billion
mm-hmm.
for home energy efficiency upgrades, $22 billion
mm-hmm.
for home energy supply improvements, and $37 billion for advanced manufacturing. So it's going to provide
mm-hmm.
new manufacturing jobs and alternative energy and everything. An assessment of additional measures include $28 billion for investing in rural economies, which, you know, to tell you the truth, rural economies still depend on farming, which is a good and noble profession, but, you know, we're in the 21st century now, so we need to upgrade to the 21st century.
A little.
You know, your forest lands and coastal habitats, the government is reducing embedded emissions, you know, so to clean up the water and the air and what have you. So that's a good thing. And the bill aims to decrease residential energy costs by focusing on improvement on home energy efficiency, like solar panels. Remember in 78 when Jimmy Carter put up solar panels, and they were laughing at him and mocking him and ridiculing him.
Uh-huh.
Well, now here
he was the head of his time.
Yeah,
he
definitely.
Was the head of his time. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So if this thing go through, and hopefully it will, when Democrats win a majority in the House and the Senate, we're going to go full stream ahead. Reason being that, you know, is the Republicans don't stand for anything. When you see the platform, they want to go after Joe Biden's son, they want to go after Joe Biden, they want to go after Hillary again for the upteenth time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some people are asking, what's your economic, you know, goals to put America forward? You know, what are your social programs to help the poor? You know, what are your stances on taxes for the middle class to grow the middle class? Nothing. There's nothing.
No, they have nothing.
You know?
The only thing they do have are fear tactics, just fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Fear
mm-hmm.
tactics. No, they're attacking the public schools, so they're villainizing teachers, you know. They and... Well, you heard that caller a couple weeks ago. He was talking about, you know, the books and the school and the graphics and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, teachers don't have the time for that anyways. And I just, that really got to me that night.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And solar power, wind power, grid energy storage, you know, this law, we put $10 billion in that. You know, and product tax credit is $30 billion to invest in alternate energy. You know? The bill also provides funds towards decarbonization of the economy in other areas. And we provide tax credits, grants towards decarbonizing the industrial and transport sectors, you know, and reduce methane emission. The transportation of natural gases, you know, it's going to be something big.
Yeah.
Because nothing like this has ever been done. I attempted.
No, it's amazing. And he does not get enough credit for it. You know, he does not get enough credit for it. That's the, that is the whole thing. You know, the media skips over a lot of things. And, you know, they should be moving away on this because climate change is really a big deal. It's really something that's, like I said, on top of us. And it's look what happened to Florida. I mean, it's going to take years to rebuild Florida, years and billions and billions of dollars. And people have lost everything, you know. So, you know, it's just
The Inflation Reduction Act also, where is it? Methane emissions will be down. Where is it? Dan, I lose my train of thought. But anyway, let's just say it's a good thing. People should look it up. Just type in a Google search Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. And it breaks down how the money is going to be spent, where it's going to be allocated and earmarked and what have you. So it's a good thing Joe Biden and the Democrats put into law and Biden signed it and everything. And when you compare that to what Republicans are doing, nada, zero, zilch. But yet still, they'll take the credit for this bill that passed. That's what you must keep in mind. Yep.
Well, the computer chips that we're having a problem with the cars and trucks. There's a company called Micron, and they're going to spend $100 billion to build a computer chip factory in New York. So Micron will spend $100 billion over the next 2 decades building a new computer chip factory in upstate New York. So that's a good thing as well, because where do we get all our microchips from? We get them all from China. Yeah. So if we make our own microchips, we will not be dependent on them, you know, as much. So, you know, we learned that because of COVID. You know, a lot of things happened because of COVID. So, I mean, that's a good deal. So
yes, it is.
That was part of the President Biden signed the CHIPS and Science Act on August 9th, 2022, which seeks to bolster the U.S. semiconductor supply chain and promote research and development of advanced technologies in the United States. So that's a good thing. Another good thing. That's another positive for the country. You know, so all these things take, but the problem is, David, is a lot of these things take time. They are not going to start tomorrow, you know, and people are not patient and then they forget. They're not going to start tomorrow. It's impossible, you know, to start everything tomorrow like we would want everything to start yesterday. But, and it's going to take time for that. But at least there are plans in, you know, in the making. You know, there are concrete things now that we could look forward to.
Yes, that's and the XL pipeline, for example, we won't need things like that anymore that goes through Native American land. You know, that, you know, if it bursts, nobody give a damn. As long as you're still making money, you don't care what's it doing to the environment or what's it doing to Native Americans, killing them, giving them cancer, giving them all sorts of diseases, polluting the water, polluting the air, you know? And this is destroying Earth, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so... yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be huge. Once again, folks, you know, look up the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 and also look up the Fairness Doctrine. We need the Fairness Doctrine back. You know, that's the only way we can stop Fox News and Rush Limbaugh-type shows on radio. Losing my voice. I had such a hard day at work today. You know, I did a job with two people, but I'm not complaining. That's why, you know, it seems like I'm babbling here, but forgive me about that. We have a call from New Mexico. Hello, New Mexico. Oops. Welcome to Kitchen Politics. What's cooking?
Hi. Talking about that computer chip bill where we're going back to making them here, Intel Corporation's headquarters in Rio Rancho, which is just north of Albuquerque. In fact, I drive past it every day on my way to work, is retooling. Building up. They had at one time made the chips there, and then they stopped and shipped them all off to China to be done, but they still did all the development and research work. It's a humongous building, a mile long, but they're retooling, and you can see the factory getting set back up to go back into production, which is going to mean a ton of jobs for people in New Mexico, and it means getting them done here. And they're one of the, you know, the inventors of microchips and one of the biggest manufacturers, or were, in the world. And they're going back to it, which is a wonderful thing. I don't know why we ever thought China was a better idea. But it's exciting to watch every day as I go back.
Yeah, I think we've got laziness country, you know, because when was it? In the 1950s and 60s, we were producers, you know, we made stuff for export, you know, we were just like one of the big shots in the world. I think back in the 1970s, though, everything just went downhill. We just consumed more and then, you know, produce for export. You know, we just got lazy.
Well, we just decided that we could figure out how to do it and then ship it off to where the cheap labor would make it so we could buy a TV for $300. and not have to pay for union wages for Americans to put it together, not realizing we're cutting our own throat in the process. Yeah, you might get a free TV, but you might also lose your job.
Exactly. And that's why I have a problem with NAFTA, which is a different show altogether. But do you think socialism can ever come, you know, come to America, like what I have in China there now?
Not until we improve our education system.
No.
Because we still have so many people that, you know, their back instantly goes up at the word socialism, and they don't understand what democratic socialism is. And they don't understand that, yes, maybe you're going to pay a little more taxes, but if your kids can go to college for free, if you don't have to pay, you know. I know my sister pays almost $700 a month on a premium for a crappy-ass medical insurance. She was just in the hospital, and they're probably going to be paying on that for the rest of her life because her insurance sucked. But it's still costing her $700 a month. If she paid $700 a month more for taxes and it was all covered, she'd be fine. But, you know, we don't think beyond today. So we need to start thinking beyond and looking at the long-term benefits of some things. I'm sure that's what people thought about Social Security. No, they're taking money out of my check. Well, yeah, but now that I'm 67, I'm pretty glad they did.
Right, exactly. And that's one form of socialism, you know?
But that makes it possible for me to work part-time and do something that I love to do, but still keep the lights on and food on the table, you know, makes a big difference.
Yes. Right. I want to ask about New Mexico politics. I want to ask something about New Mexico politics. Matt Ronchetti is running for governor against incumbent Michelle Gershom. Do you think he has a ghost of a chance of winning or even coming close?
God, I don't think so. I know when Michelle was running before, I was very active in politics and was working on some campaigns and went to a lot of a lot of different meetings and stuff. And everybody talked about not if Michelle wins, but when Michelle's governor, we can do this. When Michelle's governor, we can get this done. You know, they spent an entire season or an entire year of the state house not really trying to get anything passed because they knew they couldn't get it past Susana Martinez, but getting everything set up so when Michelle Grisham was governor, they could just boom, print this out. This one's ready, this one's ready, this one's ready, and get things done. So they just spent a whole year prepping for her to be the governor. And I think they have such confidence, and she's done a wonderful job, and we had one of the lowest rates of COVID of any of the states. At one point, we were number one in keeping it under control, and I know there are those who got mad because she made you wear a mask, but you know what? You lived through it, so get over it.
Yes, exactly.
I think she's going to be a shoe-in. Ron Kenny's an asshole.
Yeah. Congresswoman Melina Stansbury. She's a shoo-in also, I think. But District 2
She came in on a special election when Deb Haaland was the congressman, and then Biden picked her to be Secretary of Interior. So there was a special election that got Melanie Stansbury in, and she's done a wonderful job. And she's great about communicating and telling people what's going on and where she is, and almost daily emails letting everybody know what the status is, what bills we're working on, what we need help with, what we don't. And she's been a wonderful communicator and a very smart, straightforward woman, and I think she's going to win too. I pray to God she does. The only one I want to see go away is Yvette Harrell down in the southern half of the state.
Yes, yes.
She's
District 2, God. Yes. She's horrible.
I know.
And
she's
Pat
the only
David,
thing that keeps us from being pure blue. Yeah, he's president of City
Council. Pat Davis, he is a councilman, council president. I see a future for Pat Davis in politics.
Ran for Congress, and he was running against Deb Haaland. But because their policies were so similar, they were splitting the vote, and we're going to let somebody who really wasn't a good guy come in ahead. Because oddly, despite the fact that he was running as a Democrat, the Republicans were paying for all his TV ads. And mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Pat backed down and threw his support behind Deb Haaland. I worked for Pat Brown's campaign or Pat Davis's campaign, and we mm-hmm. spent the last 2 weeks calling all of his supporters and saying, here's what's happening. They can't both win. Mm-hmm. We're throwing our weight behind Deb Haaland. Please, please, please. And she made it. His doing that mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. got her through. And she's come home every time he needs something. You know, I personally walked door to door with her, you know, campaigning mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. him when he reran for city council. So, you know, she mm-hmm. knows mm-hmm. that he did a lot for her, and she's willing to pay him back when it's possible. It's a
yes,
close-knit
yes.
community I'm, here, and except for, like I say, Yvette Harrell, they do mm-hmm, they did mm-hmm. a pretty good job of keeping it blue.
Yes, and Cowboys for Trump, I saw the state Supreme Court ban that guy from running for federal office.
Yeah.
What's your thought?
There is a law on the books that if you participated in an insurrection, you are not eligible to run for mm-hmm. public office again, and they kicked him out right then and there, and mm-hmm. he is not allowed to run for anything ever again. He's trying to appeal it, but he can't go beyond the state Supreme Court.
Good, good. I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
He was such an arrogant ass. He thought he could just wave Trump's name around and everybody get out of his way, but that didn't work in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, blew up in his face, thank goodness. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's this Moms Demand Action for Gun Control and Safety. That's a good mm-hmm. organization. I've been to a couple of events with them and everything. And, you know, can you tell us more about that organization?
Well, actually, they came into being right after Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
One of the mothers got on here and said, how come we're not doing a grassroots movement? And mm-hmm. started getting it going. And within like 4 days, you had 300,000 people from all over the country wanting to participate. Mm-hmm. And then Bloomberg called her and said every town mm-hmm. for gun safety, which he was supporting and financing, has been looking for a grassroots people-run support. So they took moms under their wing, and they become kind of a separate section. So they have every town for gun safety, then Moms Demand Action for Gun Safety in America, and then the Be Smart, which is about gun safety, like locking up your guns and how to, you know, make sure that they're in a place where your kids can't get to them and stuff, are all part of the same mm-hmm. organization under the same heading and work together with everybody. And they're now in every state in America, plus Guam, plus mm-hmm. Puerto Rico, and are working really hard. And we've passed quite a number of bills here in New Mexico. And we have red flag laws here now. Even Pat Davis started a program in Albuquerque. It's only, unfortunately, mm-hmm. in Albuquerque, but where kids go on social media posing with pictures of them and their AR-15s and threatening things and, mm-hmm. you know, bad stuff going down at school on Thursday, the police don't have mm-hmm. to wait for them to do something. They can go out and say, hey, what the hell is this? And have a right to take their guns and lock them up until they go come in front of a judge and explain how come they thought that was a funny joke or what they were doing. But four times now, they have stopped a kid that they thought was for real going to do this, that had serious, serious issues going on, and got their parents involved to say, look what your kid's doing, you know. Is this what you mm-hmm. want? Mm-hmm. Do you want your kid to be, you know, the next Sandy Hook shooter? And
yes.
Few of them have gone and tried to get the guns back. Their parents won't mm-hmm. support them going to school, even if they bought them the guns. And it's been a success. We have not had a major school mm-hmm. shooting in Albuquerque. And
yes.
a lot
yes.
were threatened. So stuff can be done. You just have to be willing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, special shout-out to Emily DeAngelis, because she was head of the Moms Demand Action in New Mexico for a couple of years. And,
number of years,
you know,
yeah.
she
Yeah.
She retired from it to run for office. Unfortunately, she didn't do it, so she's back helping.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not the, yes. she's not the leader anymore, but she's certainly, mm-hmm. you know, a major, major source. How she found time, mm-hmm. I don't know. She had a
yes,
home and
yes.
a kid and all that stuff, plus COVID and everything. But she worked her butt off, and she's well-respected mm-hmm. here in New Mexico.
Yeah, she will be a great congresswoman one day. I kind of see it.
I think
you know, or even mayor of Albuquerque one day. Yes. And
well,
that lady in,
at least on
in
the city
District
council,
15.
She could run again.
Yes. In District 15, State House District 15, what's her name again?
Day
Hoffman. I can't remember her name.
Day
Hoffman. Yes, she is running for re-election this year. It's a pretty red district.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you
but
think,
she won an
outside,
and she's done a great job. So hopefully they'll keep her.
Okay, that would be good because, you know, she is a good person. I should have it together, you know.
I'd vote for her if I lived in her district, but I don't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for calling. For listening in New Mexico politics. That's right. All right. 4 minutes to go. Wrap up time. We've been talking about death by capitalism. So, Lori, closing statement. Do you think America will fall eventually, hopefully not anytime soon, because of greed caused by capitalism?
Anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Don't have a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, we need, you know, as Elaine said earlier, we need to come together and stop allowing right-wingers and Republicans to further destroy the country.
Well, we're not allowing that. It's just what's happening. I'm not allowing that. It's just what's happening. And Trumpism and MAGA, you know, that's what's taken
mm-hmm.
all the news. So for years, you
mm-hmm,
know,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah,
tired of
yeah.
it. How it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's our show for Thursday, October 6th, 2022. This is the Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Till next time, next week, Monday, this is David Franklin, New Mexico.
This is Lori Picka in Michigan. Have a good evening. Talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you.
Come together.